Hey, it's Dan Melnick. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Zing, and I'm proud to be a sponsor of this podcast. So please check us out today as we can help fuel your business growth. MyZing.io. Thank you.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm great, sir. How are you doing?
You know what? I just got off work about an hour ago and I had some dinner, so I'm doing great. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much for giving me opportunity to interview you for my channels.
Sure, no problem.
So, I've gone through a profile. I can see you're working on your own project. So, I thought to tell about your work to my audience.
Oh. So. Thank you for that. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to everybody.
So before that, can you please introduce yourself to my audience?
Sure. So I'm Bill Wagner. I go by Bill the Conqueror online. I started playing Destiny 2 back in 2017 with my son, and I've been playing for a couple of years, and about 2 years ago, maybe three by now, I got this crazy idea that I wanted to write my own kind of stories about Destiny 2. And so I wrote this story, and I thought I was going to turn it into a book. Well, then I got this really crazy idea. Why don't I hire people to be the characters? And so that was like the first story. The actual first story, it took from when I wrote it to when I published it, probably over 1 year, because I really didn't know what I was doing when I started. So, so yeah. And then, and as far as the other things I do, I mean, I've been a basketball referee for 20 years. I was a fast pitch softball umpire for 20 years. I worked in a casino for 15 years. I've done a lot of things in my life. Let's just put it that way. How's that?
So, what is this fan fiction media?
Fan fiction media. So that was before fan fiction media, I had this podcast that I did. It was called GB. It's called Game Business. In real life, I was into. I mean, I'm pretty hardcore into the gaming world. I worked in a couple different startups, and I wanted to talk to people, streamers, people who have invested in the gaming space. Well, that sort of like ended, and then I got the crazy idea to write a story about the game I liked, and then that sort of turned into why don't I hire voice actors, and then it turned into me learning about the whole production process, hiring the voices, and then me kind of coaching the voices and voice actors and teaching them the pieces of the game. And then I learned about how to record the sound properly, then how to edit the sound properly, and then how to add it. And it just kind of snowballed into this thing now where, you know, I have my second stories being edited right now. I'm in the process of writing a script for a third story. And then I also decided, you know what, if I'm ever going to like monetize this, in order for me to make any money, I guess, I need to have my own characters. So I actually have a story that I'm developing. I have the voices done for it. I have to put it all together for an audio drama. And so the whole reason I wanted to do this was because I figured out over the past few years that one of the things people want from their content is for it to be portable. And I've also learned that people like podcasts that are like storytelling podcasts. So I'm like, the most portable thing that you can listen to is a podcast, because it's just sound. It doesn't have any video attached to it. So you can listen to it while you're at work, while you're working out, while you're driving, while you're walking down the street. And I'm like, that's the best way to kind of to make some space for myself, because you know I'm playing Destiny 2. I love the game and I want to do something around the game, but the whole space is very saturated with people making videos and it's streaming on Twitch, and I tried streaming on Twitch and it just wasn't for me. I have things in my life that don't have to do with streaming, and spending the time to build a community like that takes a lot of effort. And I'm at the age where honestly, I'd rather spend time with my family. And you know, and so basically fan fiction media is my way of a contributing to the overall content space. I'm expanding my own skill set. So there you go.
So using the characters, their voices, you're creating a story and you're trying to convey that story to the listeners.
So say again now.
So you're collecting the characters, you're taking different voices, and you're creating a story, and you're telling that story through that vocal.
Yes, I am. Yes.
So what kind of stories, and what episodes, and how many audios that you have recorded till now?
So basically, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to tell stories with themes that everybody can sort of understand. Like so for example, the very first story that I ever did was about forgiveness, and so I decided that I wanted to talk about themes. You know, I wanted to talk about very common themes to the human experience, but I wanted to use the game of Destiny 2 is sort of like a backdrop for it. So my first story is about, yeah. So the very first story, I guess you call it season one on the website fanfictionmedia.com. It's 10 chapters long, and it talks about the process of, you thought a certain part of your life was over. You thought that you had resolved a certain part of your life, and you realize, I haven't. And it's about trying to forgive those people from that part of your life, and then moving forward. So for my second story, I decided that I wanted to expand my own skill set a bit, and the second story is a love story, and so season two on the website, that story will end up being about 15 chapters. There's currently 9 chapters on that. There's currently 9 chapters of that story on the website right now. You'll see chapter 10 probably next week. The editing process is is a longer sometimes. And then, so with this second story, I, instead of one main character, I actually had two main characters, and it's sort of like the same story, but told from two sides. So yeah, there you go.
Oh, the season one is different from season two.
Yes. Yes. So yeah. So the story for season one was called The New Vanguard, and the story for season two on the website fanfictionmedia.com is called Dirty, Messy, Tight, and Love. So there you go.
So what series the chapters in the season one? So using how many vocals that you have used, and how many stories that you have expressed?
So in the first story, I didn't actually count. I used, how many different voice actors did I use? Let me count real quick.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I want to say in the first story, I used probably 12 different voice actors. And then in the second story, think about it, probably about 10. And so, yeah, so that whole coordination thing, it can be a pain in the butt sometimes.
So the story is about?
So as far as the story for season one is about forgiveness. So basically the main character realizes that, you know, he has somebody in his life that doesn't realize that he did all of these things wrong. So he has to forgive this person for everything that they did as somebody else. And then they have to do the right thing. So it's a story that if you don't fully understand the game, it takes a bit to kind of grab onto. And that's why sort of in this, that's why sort of I'm in the second story, that I was like, you know what, I need to really make it simple. I need to really simplify the feeling and the theme. So the first story is about forgiveness, and the second story is a love story. So yeah.
So is there any connection between forgiveness and love story?
Yes. So I use a lot of the same voice actors from the first story to the second story. I gotta say I was extremely fortunate to find some of these people. They're very talented, very, very talented, talented voices. And so it's sort of, so like for example, the guy that plays Saint 14. So he's like an average everyday white guy, but he has this thick Russian accent that is just like amazing. He's a fantastic voice. Oh, I to this day I still cannot get over the fact of how fantastic he is. So yeah.
So love story. So what's that inspiration for you to tell the love story?
the inspiration for the love story is actually my marriage. So it's really funny because a lot of the interaction between the main female character and the main male character, their conversations are a lot like my wife and I. She's a very strong person. She's a very strong-willed person. She's very smart. She also says things sometimes that she then has to go back and, like, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, I didn't actually mean to say that. You know, I meant to say something else. And so yeah, so it's one of those things where when I sat down to actually write it, and I showed it to my wife, and she read it through the first time, and she kind of looked at me sideways, and she said, "Okay." And I'm like, "What's the matter, dear?" She goes, "So now, who's this supposed to be in this story?" It's like, "Oh, who do you think it's going to be, dear?" And she kind of smiles at me. I said, "Yes, dear. This is a story about the two of us. This is about our marriage. This is about how we interact with each other." And the whole inspiration is my wife and I. So yeah.
Why you want to choose different vocals to tell stories in fan fiction media?
Sorry, say again now.
Why you choose different vocals, different peoples for your characters in your story in fan fiction media? Why you choose different vocals?
So the person who was the voice in the first story and the two people that are the main voices in the second story. So I realized very early on that I needed to have professionals, and that isn't to put down anybody, but the person who was like the main Titan character, she was a friend of mine. And so the effort that I had to put in to teaching her and coaching her and having her be the main character, I realized that, you know, I need to have people who actually do this for a living. And so when I chose the voices for the love story, I also wanted two people that were I'm in a relationship. So as weird as that sounds, the Titan character and the Warlock character in the second story are actually a boyfriend girlfriend in real life, and I felt like having that sort of a dynamic it brings something to the story that you can't just make up. And there are certain times, or there's certain scenes in the love story where you can tell that they're connected in real life too. So yeah.
Well, the stories that you are telling, it can be forgiveness or the love story in season one or season two. Is it fictional or you got inspired from real stories in your life?
So those two characters are characters that I made up myself. But I mean, I don't know. It, you know, I use things from my life in the stories, but those characters are fictional characters. Yeah. So
forgiveness. So do you have any specific reason to take this kind of an emotion to convey through the story with different vocals in fan fiction media?
Forgiveness. When I wrote that script, I was at a certain point in my life where I wanted to kind of explore that. And so I don't know. When it comes to the voices themselves, and the voices themselves and trying to convey that feeling, it's one of those things where I have to write my script in such a fashion that the person, the random voice that I have doing that part is, they understand what I'm trying to convey. And so writing that can be very, it's very raw for me. It's very vulnerable. And so I don't know. I think the stories, the overall quality of a story depends on how authentic the a writer wants to be. So, for me, going from the first story about forgiveness and then moving into the second story about love, it was a big switch for me. I don't know. I knew that I had to make the second story a lot more real versus the first story. And so, I have that story. And that's why the third script that I'm currently writing, it's actually been really hard for me to write, because I'm authentic about it. And the theme in the third story is something that I have struggled with for a while in my life. So trying to find the right voice for that emotion, for that feeling, it is hard. It's hard because, being honest with myself in writing it and then being honest with myself when it comes to finding the right voice, it's actually very hard to do. So I'm sure that if I, this is my third story. I'm sure that if I had more of experience in this field, it wouldn't be so hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understood. So how do you choose a voice for expressing that expression?
How do I choose the voice? It's sort of a combination of things. I try to hear the voice in my head first. I try to what do I want this person to sound like? And then I also try to be very, very, very open to the idea of, I'm trying to hire a professional to do this, and this person is a professional and they're an actor, and I want that voice actor to bring what they have to the character. One of the things that I always tell my voice actors is, look, I write this a certain way. If you feel like this character should say something a certain way, isn't written in the script, you let me know. I mean, because I want the voice actor to have ownership of the role. I want them to feel like, that their voice is, that their voice and their skill is a part of the process. So, I try really, really hard to, what I think it sounds like in my head, but I've also learned over time. I've learned this the hard way. What I think it sounds like and what it actually sounds like are always two different things. And so I try not to set my expectations too high. So yeah, I guess if that works. Yeah.
How much time usually you take to create one episode?
Well, so the actual so the actual writing of the script, I write in spurts, and so I write the whole thing first. And I will say that my second story took me about 2 months to write it. But as far as like the actual, for, you know, going from script to finished product, the person who's going to be the voice, I send them the a script. I say, you know, here's the script. You know, this is your part. Usually the voice actor takes, I want to say, I'm at least 5 days. Yeah. So, you know, to do all of their parts, it takes between 5 to 7 days. But so when I get it back, you know, all of their lines for everything. So when I start chapter one, you know, I get my script out and I go through line by line and pull out the individual lines from the file. And then I put those lines in a folder and then I send it off my editor, and he lines everything up correctly, and then he goes in behind and we talk about the whole production process. You know, we talk about the sounds that we want for the scene. And so start to finish for one chapter, it takes about 10 days. So yeah.
So you are expressing an emotion through the vocals of the story that you have created. So what are the things that you will put in your mind when you are putting it in the form of vocal? Because the listeners that are going to hear the story can be, you know, listening from in the car or sitting in the bus or somewhere putting earphones. They don't know who the characters are and
right.
What is the story is about. And you are trying to express the story that you have in your imagination without showing any visuals. Only through the vocals, they have to understand your characters and the story. So what are the things that you will put in your mind when you are making them connect with the characters that you have and the story that you have in your mind?
That's a really good question. So basically what you're asking me is, how do I get the person to feel what I want them to feel? So what it really boils down to is from the actual writing standpoint, I can't make anything good if I don't have a good script. So most people have an attention span for something like this of about 5 to 10 seconds. So for the first chapter, in the first couple paragraphs of the first chapter, I mean, I have to make the point clear. This story is about this, you know. And so the love story, for example, the very first chapter opens, and within the first 30 seconds of the story, you realize what's going to happen. You realize what's going to happen. You have this main Titan character and he's talking to somebody, and then he realizes that somebody wants his help. So he turns down and he sees this person, and she's just like this beautiful, tall redhead. She's strong and she's powerful. And you realize within the, like, right when he sees her, he's like, oh my, she is stunning. She is and then that piece right there. What also helps is when you change the feel of the scene. So for example, in that first chapter, when you so in the first chapter of the love story, when the Titan drops down and he walks over and he sees the warlock. So if you listen to it, you can hear it. It's sort of like the person who's my editor. He did a really good job where he sort of takes the sound quality, shifts it to where it sounds like he's talking from inside his head, and it sort of reverberates a little bit, and he gets all, you know, he sees this beautiful, stunning woman, and he's like, oh my, and I don't know what to do, and I haven't felt this way in a really, really, really long time. And so it's a combination of having a good script and then having an editor who understands what you want. So.
Oh, how you are, the people that you hire for the vocals, for your characters, how they get injected themselves to the character, what kind of homework that they do in order to put your imagination exactly like you expect.
Sure. So when it comes to a voice actor that I hire, I usually get, so I have a friend of mine who's sort of like an agent for me, and he sends me people. And then so when I choose somebody, what I usually do is I send them, okay, you're going to be this person. And so like in the game itself, you know, there are various characters. And so what I can do is I can send them examples of, this person in the game, this is you, this is what she looks like. These are her skills and her abilities, and she talks like this and she acts like this. And I give them feedback, and you know, for their character. And then if it's for a character that isn't necessarily a character in the game that I can find videos for, that whole process is then on me as the writer. So like in the second story, the love story, I'm in the second chapter. So there's a scene where the female warlock character, she's talking to one of her friends. And so with that voice actress, what I had to do was I had to say, okay, your character is going to be like this. And so basically what I have to do is I have to think down the road a long ways, you know, as this secondary character starts to be more in the story, what do I want her to sound like? You know, what is her, what does she look like? What does she wear? How does she walk? You know, things like that. And so that's on me to then tell the voice actress, hey, look, you know, so this person's name is this, and you're going to, you know, she's this tall, she has this kind of hair, she acts like this, and I want you to sort of think that way when you do this. And then it's one of those things where, you know, I have to think far enough ahead of, okay, you know, is this going to be a character that I'm only going to use one time, or is it somebody that I want to have in the story more often? And so it's one of those things where I try not to give the actress too much. But I also want them to have a good baseline. So
it's not an easy skill for you to have that makes you to tell the story without listeners, without seeing a visual. So how do you develop these skills, the storytelling skills, with the characters that you have created? How you developed that skill set?
It's funny. I've written a lot of different styles in my life. I've written blog posts for websites. I've written a copy for advertisements. And so it's on me to not have every character look and sound exactly the same. What I spend a lot of time doing is talking to myself. And so I spent a lot of time talking to myself, like, okay, so if this person is, 6'5" and they're from New York, they would sound like this, and they might say this. And then if they're, if this person is, 5'8" and but she has short brown hair, and and she's from Georgia. Okay, she would sound like this, and she talks kind of like this, and she has kind of a twang. Okay, and so basically, I spend a lot of time talking to myself, and then writing things down, and then talking to myself, and writing things down, and it's one of those things. It just doesn't like happen. Funny thing is, I've written this story, this second story, now the third story, I've written it like 3 or 4 different ways over time. And then I go back and read it, and I'm like, no, this doesn't sound right. And then what I do is I go and I listen to what people respond to. And I watch the verbiage that people react to. It's one of those things where, I write something, and if it doesn't sound right, I erase it and I write it again. And then I kind of wait, and I kind of, it's one of those skills that it takes, you have to fail at it. I wrote a story back in 2015, 2016 that I had published online. And it was horrible. It was a horrible story. Nobody read it. And I realized that I needed to add in certain things to the story to make people care. I needed to, in some situations I needed to get to the point. In some situations I need to add to the add in details. I don't know that I can tell somebody, if you do step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4, step 5, that you'll end up with these. It's some awesome story. I don't think it works that way. So it's one of those things where you just have to like do it, and then you have to write it, and then you have to put it out there, and then you have to write it and to put it out there, and to write it and you have to put it out there, and you just learn from it every time. So yeah.
So where this imagination is coming from?
That's a good question. I grew up on a lot of cartoons. I watched a lot of cartoons when I was a kid. Various, sci-fi stories, and then I started playing Destiny 2 back in 2017, and so I've learned the lore of the game, and then. I very distinctly remember growing up. When I was growing up, I had comic books. I still have them. I still have a whole bunch of comic books, and I would read the comic books, and I'm like, I want to write stories like this. I want to be able to tell these sorts of stories. And so you know, I start thinking about, you know, what should this character say? You know, what does this character sound like? You know, what does this character look like? And it's also having the, I guess, the confidence in myself to be able to say, you know, I'm going to write this down. I'm going to have this idea. I'm going to see what happens to it. I'm going to put it out there. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But in order for me, in order for me to grow, in order for me to learn, in order for me to get better, it's something that I have to keep on doing. I think that a lot of people get wrapped up in their failures, not understanding that, you know, really, everything you want is on the other side of fear. So that fear that you have of, you know, this idea sounds dumb. Well, okay, but perhaps it doesn't, and you won't know until you actually do it. And so when it comes to like the imagination of these things, it's basically I take things in my life and I'm like, well, what if I did this? Or, you know, what if this person talked, you know, like that? And so it's, I don't know, it's, I think that, you know, I honestly think that everybody has an imagination, but I don't think that people have the courage to actually explore it. So.
Forgiveness and then love story. What next?
What next? That's a good question. The third story is it's going to be about mental health, and that's a big deal for me. I dealt with a lot, you know, growing up, and so I'm like, you know what? I need to write a story about a major life changing event, and then how that, like, you know, your whole perception of reality changes, and then trying to recover from that. So like in the third story, in the third story, you have the Titan and the Warlock, and they're in love and they love each other, and it's all fantastic. It's all great. Well, the Titan learns that the very first person that he fell in love with long time ago, he learns that person is dead now. That person's dead and gone. And he learns this at the same time that his current love, she almost dies. And then he almost dies saving her. And so, you know, his entire world is shattered. His entire perception of reality has shifted. And he's just like broken, but he doesn't know how to deal with that. And so the third story is dealing with that moment in your life when you become like emotionally broken, that you know, all the personal strength that you thought you had, all of the skills that you've learned over time, it's that whatever just happened to you, those things don't help. You then have to remake and reconstruct yourself from this, you know, from this pile of broken whatever, and you have to find a way to fit it back together again in such a fashion that you can still do all the things that you need to do. And so that's hard. And it was very hard for me. It was very, very hard for me to do that. And it took a lot of people helping me over time. And so I wanted to write a story that sort of like grabs that, that, you know, this Titan almost dies for good. He's this close to dying. And then he comes back to life, and while he might be physically okay, he isn't okay up here. He is not okay here. He's not. He's just like emotionally broken and raw, and he doesn't know what to do with himself. So that writing that story is really hard for me, because I'm getting back into spots in my life where I didn't like what happened. I don't like writing about things that feel that way, but I know that's where the good stories are. That raw, authentic feeling of, I almost died. I don't want to go on, but I need to, because I have to get better, and there are people that need me to be who I am for their safety and for their growth. So, yeah, there you go.
So the characters that are there in Forgiveness and Love Story, the same characters you'll carry to the mental health?
Yes, they will be there. I will say that I might change the main character voices. I don't know yet. I haven't got to that point. But I can tell you that all the secondary characters will be the same. All the secondary characters from the first and second stories will be the same in the third story. I don't know what I'm going to do yet with the two main characters. I might shift voice actors. I don't know yet, but it's set in the same universe. So
what is this called as a third season? Can I call this as a third season?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yep.
So who are your listeners exactly? Who wants to listen to your stories?
Right now it's mainly people who play Destiny 2. I will say that I have friends that don't play Destiny 2 that I've shown this to, that actually listened to the story, and they like it. They're like, this is really good. I have a friend who he and his girlfriend are also gamers. He plays like Final Fantasy 14. He plays League of Legends, and he loves it. He thinks it's fantastic. And so I would say the people who listen to this are right now mainly the gamers. I want to be able to expand that a bit, and so that's why I'm developing my own characters and I'm in the process of developing stories and characters that aren't based in the Destiny 2 a game. So yeah.
What's your intention to tell these stories?
I guess it's so my whole goal behind this, I guess, is twofold. One, I'm trying to expand my own skill set, and I want to share my own. I want to be able to share my own stories. And I would say, second, I want to So this is this will sound weird, but I want to create something, some sort of a creative idea vibe where I can make some money off of it. I want to be able to have some intellectual property that is mine, that I can own, that I can use. And you know, I want people to be entertained. That's the whole point. But to say that I do this just for the stories is wrong. I want to be able to, I would love to be able at some point to support myself with this. I would love for what I create to reach enough people where I can get something back for my time that I would be able to then take and then reinvest into, you know, more stories or more ideas.
Who are your targeted audience?
I would say my target audience is people who enjoy. My target audience is people who enjoy stories. People who, so like, for example, one of the most popular podcast genres I'm out there is a true crime, and it's basically somebody reads a story about somebody who was kidnapped or, you know, stabbed or, you know, whatever, you know, those sorts of podcast, you know, that information is out there, but the fact that somebody takes the time to get all the details put together and to tell the story of, you know, this was this person, and when they were 14, they did this, and they were 16, they did this, and then they graduated high school, and they went to college, and then their third year in college, you know, they met this person, and it just, you know, I want to be able to tell stories, and I want people who enjoy those stories to listen to mine. So yeah, there you go.
So why this name, Fanfiction Media?
I brought it. I thought of it because I think that. No, I don't think. I strongly believe that video games and the whole culture has the whole gaming culture has imprinted itself on our lives in such a fashion that we often become those people in the game, and whether or not we want to say it out loud, we have a narrative in our head about person in the game, our character in the game that we play. We, you know, we have a narrative about that person, and, you know, I'm sure everybody has some sort of a version of them being either the hero or the villain in their video game or in their own little world. And so fan fiction, I wanted it to sort of like the name Fanfiction Media, you know, I wanted to grab that because at some point I want to turn this into more than just an audio drama. I want to turn it into a full blown website where I have art and I have other things that involve the gaming world that then I could, bring people together with.
At last, what do you say to my audience for listening to our conversation from anywhere on this planet about fan fiction media and the stories that you are telling? It can be forgiveness or love, the next coming, mental health. So what do you want to say to my audience?
So what I want to say is, you know, for everybody who listens, thank you. For everybody who's going to listen, thank you. I try to use I try to use video games as a way to bring people together. And I honestly believe that gaming reaches across generations. It brings families together. It creates memories and moments in time that you will always have with you. And, you know, so fan fiction media is sort of like, you know, where it is now versus where I want it to be. It's stories of my favorite games, stories that I wrote, that I came up with, that I hope have themes that are, you know, that have themes that are common to everybody: forgiveness and love and, you know, being a strong person and, you know, various things like that. And so I feel like fan fiction media is a place where you can realize that what brings us together for video games is so very strong. It's one of those things where, you know, I know that my kids have strong memories of me playing video games with them. I know that my granddaughter has, you know, she's six, but she always asks about my game, and she always wants to know what I'm doing. And she's done things with me in the game, and she's had a great time doing it. And so I want fan fiction media to be sort of like a bridge. I want people to come together and share their stories and to feel like they're involved.
So as a content creator, as a person who's as a storyteller, as a person who is trying to put imagination in the form of vocals and create characters and reach it to different audience and different places, what is your observation about my work? Have you seen any videos of mine on YouTube?
I honestly haven't. I've seen, so from when you contacted me a couple of days ago to today, I've looked at some videos, and you talk to a lot of different people and a lot of different places and of industries. And I think it's funny because I decided to do this because, you know, I did this same sort of concept myself. I just wanted to talk to people with, you know, who have an interesting background that do interesting things. And it doesn't really matter what it is. You just want to be able to meet other people across the globe. And that's, you know, one of the really, really awesome things about the internet. I mean, you know, I'm in a different country than you. I'm, you know, thousands of miles away across the world, and we're having this really cool conversation about stuff that, you know, that you know, even, you know, even for me, you know, even, you know, even somebody as old as me 20 years ago, you know, this whole thing, this whole idea wouldn't have happened. You know, I would have, you know, I have to see you on a TV show on a radio show, hear you on a radio show, or see you on YouTube first, and then you'd have to see me and send me an email. Then we have to, you know, find some way to talk on the phone. But now we're, you know, we have these awesome tools, and, you know, I can talk to people from India. I have friends that are in Spain and Great Britain, France and Germany, and, you know, all over the world. And so being able to talk to people like this and just share ideas, and it gets you, it's really awesome because it gets you outside of your own little world, and you realize how big the world is, and you realize how many different ideas there are out there. And it's really freaking awesome.
Great. So I personally did master's in software engineering, also bachelor's in computer science and engineering. I do some software engineering projects for UK and US companies. So that's my full-time job, actually. So apart from that, I'm interviewing experts like you who are doing really great things, trying to, you know, tell different stories and different lives, different imaginations, different worlds, and from different parts of the world. There are a lot of experts like you in different places in the world. So I'm trying to put all you in one platform and trying to show to my people. So what I'm going to learn from this process from you people and how this experience is going to be helpful in my life or in my professional career.
What can you learn from me? Is that what you said? What can you learn from me? I would say, I mean, if there's one lesson in my life that has constantly repeated itself, is perseverance. You know, I mean, I spent 20 years as a fast pitch softball umpire. I remember my first few years, I was working various levels of games, making $20 a game, $40 a game. My last several years as a softball umpire, I was making $225 a game. I was working at some of the highest levels in college softball. I traveled the country, and that sort of stuff doesn't happen overnight. And you know, I didn't start this project with Fan Fiction Media until, like, you know, 3 years ago. You know, just because you're my age, I mean, I'm 52. Just because you're my age, it does not mean that your life is over. It means that you just have other opportunities. I mean, I cannot run the way I used to run, but I'm also a lot smarter than I used to be. I have a lot more experience, a lot more things to draw from, and to be able to share that information. And so, you know, while you might fail, while you might fall on your face, and I've done that plenty of times, believe me, I'm by no stretch of any imagination have I had this, you know, great life has, you know, always been awesome. No, you know, I've made plenty of mistakes, and I've done and said things that I still have to deal with, and they're bad, and I wish I hadn't said them, but I do, and I did, and I have to deal with that, and I have to grow and learn. So I would just say, stay with it. Life is a lot longer than you think it is, and there are opportunities out there that, unless you're looking for them, you will never find them. And often it comes from a very simple idea.
Yeah, your points have been noted. Thank you very much, Vella, for giving me opportunity again and telling about Fan Fiction Media to me and to my audience, and definitely the upcoming story about mental health. We all are, like, you know, eagerly waiting what you are going to say with, you know, the characters. And I can see your intuition and your intention to say any stories coming from your heart. Definitely it will impact, you know, many people, I'm thinking. So can I put this video on my YouTube channel with your permission?
Sure, absolutely. I'm sure. I hope that somebody watches it and they're like, wow, you know what? And they see me, and they, you know, I can't talk very well sometimes. They see me and they're like, you know what? If that guy could do it, well, I sure as hell can do it. Cause look at that guy talk. That guy sounds like an idiot sometimes. I hope that somebody will see this and they'll be like, you know what? I can do that. And that's great. I want somebody, it would be the awesomest thing ever if somebody said, I watched a video of you and I realized I can do that. And then you, like, inspired me. I'd be like, wait a minute, you're saying I inspired you to do this. That's like the absolute best thing ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So also, can I put this audio and video clip on my podcast, website, internet, social media, everywhere with your permission?
Sure. Absolutely. Go right ahead.
So can you spell your website to my podcast listeners?
Sure. Fanfictionmedia.com. FanFictionMedia.com. Fanfictionmedia.com.
I'll put the website link on the screen also. In the description of this video on YouTube, also on my website as well. People who find my work anywhere in the internet can able to see your work as well along with mine. So
awesome.
I hope it reaches many places in the world.
Awesome.
Thank you very much again, Bill, for the opportunity.
Sure. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.